Hi, this is Paul Warren, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast with me, Jason, back on hosting duties today after last week's absence. Great to be back, and it'll be great to have some more positivity to talk about. Seem to be on a bit of a roll on the podcast with that at the moment, which is all good news. And joining me today to talk about all that good news is podcast debutant, Sean Woodward. Sean, nice to meet you, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, likewise. I'm doing fine, thank you. Yeah, at the moment, all good. So, kind of living the dream at the moment.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Just hope it carries on. Let's hope it carries on.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a bit of a few topics to talk about. Obviously, the game last night in the EFL Trophy to talk about. There's obviously Saturday's trip to Brisbane Road and Leighton Orient, the first trip there in about 38 years, I think it is, if my research is correct. We've also got, obviously, Paul Warren's Manager of the Month nomination. Mm-hmm. Don't see how he doesn't win that, if I'm honest, because he's had an 100% record in November. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we also, as we do every week on the podcast, we always single out sort of one or two players to have a bit more of an in-depth dive into that. And then, dependent on time, we'll look into a little bit more detail as we're vastly approaching that busy Christmas period. We have been mentioning transfers the last couple of weeks. No transfer chat really this week. Don't think there's any need for that. We've kind of covered that, and we'll wait until January comes round to discuss that. But yeah, certainly look into between what is a pretty good run at the moment, Sean, and the start of it, the latest result. We'll come to that first. AFL Trophy last 32 last night. Fleetwood at home. I mean, other than a lower league side, even though obviously we managed to get dumped out by one of them in the FA Cup. I mean, I don't know if you saw the game or not last night. I watched it, and it was about as routine as I've seen Derby be all season. Fleetwood, I don't particularly think, brought a great deal. Derby just went about the business, got the name into the hat for the last 16. I think the draw's either tonight or Friday. I can't remember when it is now.
I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah, so, you know, be interesting to see down into the last 16, and it's a little step closer, and it's all about momentum as well, Sean. I think that's probably, if you want anything out of a game, especially at home, you want a couple of goals, you want a clean sheet, and when you're on a bit of a run, you want that momentum to continue. And I think Derby ticked all boxes last night, to be honest. Obviously, then you've got the benefit of being able to chuck on a couple of the youngsters in the final 10. We know they wanted to bring them in a little bit earlier, but obviously the game was on a bit of a knife edge, really, without Fleetwood really knocking on the door too much. But as far as I'm concerned from last night, Sean, job done, and the last 16 awaits.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like you say, it was routine. There wasn't really many scares. Like Fleetwood had a few chances. And that 1-0, it's always a bit ropey until you get that second goal. But we looked comfortable most of the night. Like I say, it could have been 3 or 4 before we got the last couple of goals. And we could have quite easily relaxed then. But it was a simple night, really. We were quite ruthless, took our chances. You move into the next 16, last 16. And like you say, who knows then? Dare we dream of a trip to Wembley? All right, it's not particularly the trophy we'd have wanted at the start of the season. But, you know, like you say, we keep winning, bringing in the young kids, clean sheets, players scoring goals, people returning from injuries. So it's a great trophy for that, in that respect. Like to Joe Ward coming back. It's brilliant for them to get minutes in there under the belt and in the tank for the busy Christmas period. So, more than happy with that.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, I think, unfortunately, something that Derby could have benefited from using the trophy games this year is to put that rotated side out just to give them a little bit of confidence. And obviously, unfortunately, and some respects the same last night. There is still six or seven. I know there are regulations of how many you have to play, but there was still a fair amount of first teamers involved last night, probably for a lot longer, as I just mentioned, a lot longer than the coaching staff would have wanted. And obviously we heard after the game, Nyambe, Fauna, you know, these certain players that obviously would have played a bit more of a game, which would have made the first team a bit more fresher for the, probably the ones we were expecting to start on Saturday. I mean, bringing Mendaz Lang on at half-time, personally, I don't know if that was the greatest of ideas. But, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, he was part of the third goal and he did make a bit of a difference when he come on. But I'd have liked to have seen him probably have a bit of a rest last night, to be honest. I think he's more important for us on Saturday, especially in the form that he's under. But again, as we said, with the team building momentum, it could be the same for players. We've seen, obviously, the goal scorer of two last night, James Collins. The last time he scored in the EFL Trophy, obviously he got the hat-trick against Wolves and then he backed it up on the Saturday, you know, with that brace at Pride Park. So if he gets the nod on Saturday, and then, you know, that's breeding confidence for him. Of course, Tyrese John-Jules coming on. I think he's had four touches for Derby in 3 months and scored two goals. I mean, you can't say more prolific than that, Sean. I must admit, I thought he might have played a little bit more, but obviously because of his injury record, they really want to obviously bed him in as safely as they can. And I must admit, I thought all three goals last night. Okay, the first one's a bit of a deflection, but you've got to be in there. The second one's a beautiful, beautiful ball in from Ward. We sort of saw that in pre-season, that link up, and then one thing or another, they've just not really played together, have they, in the league? And then I'd say that finish from John-Jules, great movement from Mendaz Lang, great pass. I thought he was going to square it, but that's a very nice, acute finish when you've been out for what, the best part of nearly 3 months. That is a neat and tidy finish for me.
I'll be honest, I was probably more pleased with that finish than the one against Port Vale. Mm. Because Port Vale, he didn't have much time to think about it. He just, you know, he just one touch. It was a good finish against Port Vale. But last night, a couple of touches, he looked up, he made his mind up, and it was a really clinical finish, a real classy finish from a player that I was really pleased that he looks like the real deal. At this level, I mean, if he can stay fit, touch wood, we've got a hell of a player moving into the new year. Really excited to see what he can do. Just stay fit, up his minutes, and then he puts pressure on the other strikers to keep their place. You know, they've got to up their game to keep their place because he's bringing down the next. But what a player to bring on at the moment.
Absolutely. And to be honest, I said there in the opening, I wasn't going to talk about transfers, but it almost does kind of go hand in hand with this. You've got the likes of Joe Ward coming back, who obviously is going to be a massive player if we can keep him fit.
Yeah.
Kane Wilson has been a revelation over the last 6 weeks since he's come back from injury. If you've got John-Jules coming back and he's putting the ball in the back of the net, James Collins is putting the ball in the back of the net. It's that, do you stick or twist in January on a couple of those key positions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last year we didn't twist and I think it cost us. But what 100%. You can think is to bring in three or four and then in 3 weeks' time, when everybody's fit, you go, okay, well, somebody's missing out. And then that can obviously that could potentially derail a promotion push, and that's not what you want. So the stick or twist there is going to be interesting. But at the end of the day, that's what they obviously get paid the big money for.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get to make those decisions, don't they?
Yeah, they live and die by those decisions. And last year it backfired massively. And you know, Paul Warren's come out and said that he regrets it not strengthening like how he should have done. He thought he had enough, and we clearly, you know, we fizzled out really. But this year, I think, if you'd like to say he brings too many in, it could upset the dressing room, especially if we've got three or four coming back. But if he doesn't bring enough in and we get one or two injuries, we start to look a bit thin again. And so it's a real difficult one. But like you say, they get paid the money. They've got all the analysts and they know what they're doing. Well, hopefully they know what they're doing and we can just sit here and talk about it. But if I was them, it's more about the quality, not the quantity. It's bringing in that real quality we need in just one or two areas to really give us, you know, that edge over the majority of teams in this league. And I know most of the top teams in this league will want the same players, but you'd like to think Derby being Derby would sway them to come to us. You know, that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, we might just have that, especially now we're on that upturn in form.
Yeah.
Three, 4 weeks ago, maybe there's one or two looking at it going, maybe there's better options out there. But actually, and again, there's not, chances are, if Paul Warren does say to these potential signings what he says to them in the media, where he says, you know, you're going to come in but don't guarantee to start, there will be certain individuals that don't want to come in and challenge for that sort of thing. So you're right, it is about the quality of player, the personnel, the attitude, and we know that that's something that he's tried to bring in. And we will wait and see on that one. Final couple of points about last night. Obviously, we just mentioned injuries there. Unfortunately, Martin Waghorn came off at half time. Doesn't sound anything too serious, but of course they wouldn't have known at full time last night. So I'm sure the precautionary scans and everything would have gone on today. So hopefully not another setback for Waghorn coming back.
Yeah.
And then other than that, really, as I said, just a professional performance. The clean sheet was nice. Nice to see Jack Marriott miss an absolute sitter.
Absolutely.
Nice for Josh Vickers, obviously, to get a game. Obviously, he would have probably played in the last one, hadn't it been for personal reasons. And, you know, just to come, made him feel part of the team, got that clean sheet.
Yeah.
That hopefully will do him, you know, the world of confidence as well, if and when he's required. So, yeah, all in all, I think just a professional performance that I like to be as balanced as I can be. It's not we're Derby County, we're great podcast. If there was going to be a negative, and I think the coaching staff said it after the game last night, Derby didn't take control of it scoreline wise until near the end. And then obviously we made it look comfortable. But that first half, I thought the way that we knocked the ball around, the way that we pressed, the way that we just worked and managed that first half, I think deserved more than just one. And I think really we deserved to be coasting that game in the second half. And as I say, we could have then got a few more of the youngsters out to give them a little bit more experience. But all in all, we're into the last 16. And you're on a roll, aren't you? It's not in these kind of competitions. Let's face it, you know, you look at an FA Cup from where we start, there's a lot of teams technically ahead of us that we could be drawn against. Whereas in this competition, there's probably only in league position, I think Bolton are still in it.
Portsmouth play tonight, I think.
Right. So there could literally be three technical higher ranked league position teams higher than us. So it just gives you, it gives you that bit of confidence and again, keeps the ball rolling. I haven't done my research. I don't know when that round of 16 is. I don't think it's still January, which obviously don't want to crowbar another one in December because that would be a bit too much. But it'd be interesting to see who we get. And pity Forest under 21s went out. Wouldn't mind a taking that one. Wouldn't want to be embarrassed by them, of course. But we will wait and see. There's still a couple of, obviously, there's some big teams in there, some big ties. And you've only got to look over the past couple of years what teams naturally who sort of get to the final have normally had a pretty decent season because of that momentum. Obviously, got to the final and got beat. Bolton made the playoffs. Who won it? Obviously, years before, Rotherham's won it in the past when they went up. So, you know, some see it as an hindrance right at the beginning, but it's at this stage now. If you're in it and you're in a bit of good form, you can soon find yourself in a quarter semi-finals. And then, like you say, you're dreaming of 100%. Wembley.
You're three games away from Wembley now. We've got to take it seriously. Like you say, at the start of the campaign, you're probably thinking it's just to give the youngsters a bit of a run out and some injured players and some minutes. But now where we are, we've got to take it seriously. Like you say, it's all about getting to that final now. We've got to be bullish. We've got to be getting to that final. There's no reason why we can't.
No, I would completely agree with you. So moving on from last night, obviously no league game at the weekend because it got cancelled because it was FA Cup second round and we were out. So we've not had a few more than nine days, 10 days since we've had a league fixture. We did pick up on it on the podcast last week, but it's sort of want to mention it. Derby, 4 wins out of 4 in the league now, Sean. Again, I don't think we're prolific. I don't think we're blowing teams away, but we're doing enough. I don't think we're being outplayed, which actually I don't really think we've been particularly outplayed all season. And I think it has just been Derby's lack of that extra 10-20% that's not meant Derby have got a few more points on the board than we've already got. Before we go into more detail, Leighton Orient on Saturday, and as I say, peek into that Christmas period. Somebody mentioned it, I can't remember if it was on Twitter or I heard it on another podcast, And I didn't really think about it at the time. And then actually you think about it and it's like, actually, you've got a really good point. Derby were woeful away from home, started to just pick a couple of results sort of up at home. And then that sort of not vote of confidence as such by the board, but obviously that comment where fans were obviously turning a little bit, David Clough comes out, the statement comes out and no, he's going nowhere. And it's ever since then, I know it probably doesn't go together, but it seems to be ever since then, there seems to be a bit of a different attitude from the coaching staff. He probably has said a few own truths. The players have probably got together and realised, look, you know, there's only us that can pull us out of this and turn the season into a positive. Okay, with other than Barnsley, who I think definitely had a bit of an off day at Pride Park a couple of weeks ago, but you can only beat what's in front of you. Derby haven't had the blistering teams in League One, if you can call them that. But you've still got to pick up the points. You've still got to do the job. You've still got to be professional. And Derby have. They've been scoring goals. They've not really been conceding too many. Your opinion, Sean? I mean, as I say, it seems a bit of a coincidence since that statement came out. Derby have had a bit of an uptick, and it's a bit more than an uptick now, because actually, it's if you go back, it's like what, one or two defeats in eight or nine or whatever it may.
Yeah, look. I think. Take the Crewe game out of it. The league form, I mean, I think, like, so around the Exeter game at home, there was a lot of pressure on Paul Warren. Like, almost like if we lost to Exeter, that could be the end of him, really. I was at that game, and we could have won that 6-7-0. I mean, it was one of the most one-sided games I've ever seen. And then the only problem with that is we then went away and lost to Stevenage, if I remember rightly. Woeful performance, just got out-thought. But then it's like, I think home crews were said after that game, like, that is it now. There's no more excuses. The team needs to come together. And that's the only way we're going to get out of it is if we roll our sleeves up. And since that game, it looks like, yes, we haven't been blowing teams away like we did against Northampton and that, but we've been winning games. These are the games that get you promoted. The 2-1s, the 1-0s away from home. The game against Bristol Rovers wasn't great. Got the 3 points. These are the games that get you promoted. It's like, you can go through the season winning games 4-0, but you've got to be winning those 1-0s when you're not playing at your best. And the last four games in the league, we beat Barnsley, who were poor on the day, but we've been just doing enough to beat these teams. We haven't looked threatened at all, I don't think, in any of the games, really. Port Vale didn't have a shot on target, I don't think. All right, Bristol Rovers kind of scored late and we still managed to find a way to win, but we're just grinding out these 3 points, and I'll take that every game. All right, it's not pretty at times, but just keep these 3 points ticking over, and before you know it, you're where you want to be. And that's a good thing at the moment. We're not conceding. We're just doing enough to beat these teams that they are going to put men behind the ball. They're going to huff and puff. We're Derby. They're going to raise their game. You know, it's their cup final. A lot of these teams aren't being too big time about it. And it's tough to beat these teams. When they're playing us, they're going to raise their game. And we've got to remember that. And we've got to, first of all, battle with them. And then the quality should come through, which I think is what we're doing at the moment. We're fighting with these teams and then we're getting on top of them. And then the quality off the bench, and we're doing enough. So I'm more than happy right now, even if the scorelines aren't, blowing us away and looking amazing. But they're wins. That's all that matters.
Yeah, no, I think I would definitely agree with you. And I think actually something you've just mentioned there, it's an interesting point. We haven't looked troubled not that troubled at the back, not really. And that then does sort of lead to the frustrations of we've looked safe at that. We're looking pretty safe. We've probably got the joint best defensive record in the league. We're starting now to create, I think personally, a few more chances than we were previously.
Yep.
Obviously that's due to personnel and players and fitness and gelling and all that, because obviously there was still a big change in the summer. So that's starting to sort of click. We're now just about starting to see the ball going into the back of the net and in a bit more frequent. I mean, not to blow our own trumpet too much, but this could, if things continue in the same vein over the next, certainly over the Christmas period, build up that steam, build up that momentum. And that could really set Derby in for a very interesting second half of the season. I think there's still, for me personally as a fan, there's still that little bit going, we're good, we're just not quite good enough yet. But as I say, I think all the pieces are sort of in the bowl now.
Absolutely.
I don't think we did have all the pieces. We're just now, we think of it as a jigsaw puzzle. We've done the outer. We're just starting to put the little pieces in place. January could be the final piece of the jigsaw
that
actually sees us have a very, very successful second half of the season. Of course, it could go completely south as well. I get that. But it just feels like we're starting to find a bit of a groove and a bit of a rhythm.
Yeah.
Like you say, sure, you're not going to win 4 or 5 every week. It's not going to happen in this division.
I know some of our fans would think that we should be, especially against some of these lesser teams that, you know, a couple of years ago, they probably wouldn't even know who they were without disrespecting some of our fans. You know, the likes of Fleetwood, you just say Fleetwood, you think, well, that should be a 4 or 5 nil to Derby. But that's just not the case. We're in this league for a reason, and they're in this league for a reason, and they're going to fight with us all the way. So we have to, first of all, you know, roll our sleeves up and compete with them. And then the quality should come through. But for me personally, the likes of Nelson and Nyambe at the back, they've just set that foundation alongside Cash. And we're so hard to score against. And that's got to breed confidence through the team for the rest of the players to go, right, they're doing their job. Let's go and win the game for them. That's, you know, we're looking so solid.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, I was watching the Derby game last night. I'd also got the Alfreton Town against Walsall game on in the FA Cup. I live quite close to Alfreton. So it was one that, to be honest, I would have gone to Saturday if it hadn't been called off with 3 minutes to go till kickoff or whatever it was. But I watched that. And I mean, if fans think Warne plays hoofball, that was 90 minutes of absolute hoofball on an absolute. Yeah. Donkey of a pitch. And I think that's some of that's Derby playing a certain style. You're not going to go to, no disrespect, but the likes of Fleetwood who've got an older ground, an older pitch that cuts up, they haven't got you're not going to be able to play that pretty football. And in all honesty, one of the, if you take, I don't know, the last 10, 15 years, probably as a Derby fan, you take one of the main criticisms that fans would have had is we had a plan A, and plan A worked amazingly most of the time in the last 10, 15 years. But when it didn't, we looked lost of ideas. So far this season, I'm not a massive fan of the 3-5-2, but I know we can play it because we've got the players.
Yeah.
We played in a different way last night. We've got now options. There's no two ways about it. We've got different styles. Okay, sometimes they don't work, and unfortunately, our fan base, not just our fan base, but certainly our fan base, as soon as it doesn't work once, everybody starts jumping on the back of it. But actually, for having different ways to win is more of a positive than a negative. It might not always, as you mentioned a minute ago, it might not always be pretty, but there are games, I think, already this season that last season we would have drew. And we've managed to pick those, or in fact, indeed lost, maybe. You know, we've managed to pick up, okay, yeah, we've had a couple of stinkers in there. The whole team and the coaching staff, we're going through a bit of a rough patch. There's no two ways about that. Looks like we've sort of started coming out the other side of that now. I say players back, potential incomings in January. I'm sure one or two might go as well. But, you know, I think there's a lot more over the last 5-6 weeks. There's a lot more to be positive about watching Derby for me, sure, than there has been the previous six, well, beginning, you know, first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, I think Paul Warne would have learned a lot about himself. I think, you know, he's had to analyse his own managerial style and kind of, you know, look at where he goes, because he was a bit of a one-trick pony at Rotherham. You know, he had a style. It was really, you know, it worked. It got them where they got, but they got found out when they moved up to another level. And I think with Derby, I think he's tried to come in and do the same as he did at Rotherham, but without the personnel. And I think he was quite stubborn initially, like, this is how I want to do things. And I think he's had to almost kind of accept that we have different types of players. And he's got to accept that and let them play, you know. And I think he's starting to do that now. The freedom, you know, the likes of Nathaniel Mendes-Lang now, he's looking like a different player. He's allowed to go and express himself. He's enjoying his football. John Jewell's like going out there and just like a young kid, just enjoying his football. It's great to see. If you're a Conor Hourihan or, you know, a Joe Ward now wanting to get on the ball and seeing these players, you just want to, it must be brilliant to play alongside, because you just give them the ball. play them in. You know, there's so many options for the centre midfielders now and these wide men. It must be brilliant. So, but it's Paul Warne letting them play. You know, bring in the players that can do the holding, win the headers and the tackles, let these other boys play, because that's how we're going to get out of this league. You know, we're not going to be a Rotherham. You know, we just don't have the personnel. I think he's had to accept that. I'm still saying we're probably a couple of players short. We could do with a couple of Rotherham type players, but you know, I think he's got to accept that we've got seven or eight players that want to go and express themselves and win games of football, and that's what the fans want to see as well.
I think you're absolutely spot on. It's something that I've been saying for a while. We're not an underdog team. Rotherham went into a fair few as an underdog. We are definitely not an underdog side. And I think you're right. I think he was a bit stubborn. We know he tried it last year when he first came in, realised it didn't work, had to change it to keep the form. Well, and then straight away we had that change in form. And then obviously, unfortunately, the arse end sort of fell out of the back of it. But then this year, he's brought in the players to play his own system. Half of them get injured in pre-season in the first few games.
Yeah.
He tried it. It didn't work. He knew he had to revert back to it. And I think now maybe he has, like you said, I think he's had to learn. I think he's looked at it now and gone, okay, I can play my 3-5-2, but actually, with the personnel, even the ones that we brought in, we are still naturally better in this 4-1-3-2 or whatever it is, and you can shift and change. And as we just mentioned, I don't think having more than one system is a negative in this division, in any division, in fact. Even the best of the best in the world don't really play the same way week in, week out with the same players. So it's just not achievable. So I think it's nice that he has potentially probably just accepted it, stopped fighting it in some respects, wanting it his own way a little bit. And that's only going to help him. And I think that's only going to help him, hopefully.
And hope
project this team a bit further up and hopefully cement our place in the playoffs and looking higher over that busy Christmas period.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I'm not a fan of the 3-5-2. I think we get too defensive. We look like we're just inviting teams onto us. But when you do change the formation, no disrespect to League One teams, but they can take a while to kind of suss onto what you've done. And in that 5 minutes while they're kind of looking at who's moved around, that's when you can get those spaces and exploit them. So I think there's no harm occasionally to change it up, because I do think, you know, teams at this level do struggle at times to kind of suss it out what you've done. So I'm all for it. But I do sometimes worry when we are 1-0 up and we do revert to a quite defensive style. I just don't think that suits us. I think, I'm not saying be gung-ho when you're 1-0 up, but, you know, to be sensible. But I do think the best way to be is to carry on attacking and try and get that second goal. We're not good at holding on to leads, you know?
Yeah, no, I can fully, fully, fully agree with you on that comment. So before we go into, you know, chatting about a couple of players and just finally finishing the podcast with Leighton Orient, just a quick glancing eye to what is now the run into Christmas. We spoke on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I think it was actually after the Crewe game. You know, we'd just beaten Barnsley. We were on that little bit of a run where we'd beaten Northampton. We'd done Wolves in the under-21s in the trophy. I mean, since then, obviously beat Bristol Rovers, beat Port Vale, beat Fleetwood. The next couple, Leighton Orient away is obviously a bit of a roll of the dice, but then two home games, Wickham and Lincoln, they're going to be difficult. Of course, they're going to be difficult, but a very nice platform for then, I think, probably three of the toughest games we could probably have in a row. Wigan on Boxing Day, Oxford away in between the break, and then obviously Peterborough side, who, you know, you're expecting to be up there. And obviously a team, Sean, that's going to want that bit of revenge from the thrashing that Derby handed to them not so long ago. So the next three, I don't like to be disrespectful, but the next three are sort of the lesser ones and the ones that Derby really need to be picking the points up in. But then it's probably going to be those next three over the Christmas 10 days. If Derby can come out of that unbeaten with 4 or 5 points on the back of 6-7 points out of those three that we've just mentioned, and on the lead up into Christmas week, I mean, we're really going to be in and around it at that point. It's almost, you've done okay. You've beat the teams you're expecting to have beaten. Continue that. and then go and make a statement over the Christmas New Year period, and then almost reevaluate it in January, isn't it? It's an interesting 6-game period in December that really could shake Derby's season and see which direction we're going to be going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you say, I know it's the old cliche, one game at a time. But for me, at the moment, Leyton Orient is the biggie, because it's away from home against, like you say, a team with no disrespect to them. It's a team that we should be beating, but it will be in front of a passionate crowd on a pitch that probably isn't like Pride Park. You know, quite close. They'll make it tough for us. They'll fight. They'll battle for everything. So this is the game we need to go into and really roll our sleeves up and show what we're about. We don't want another Stevenage on our hands. Which we've chucked in a few of those over the season when we started to talk about how good things are going, like away at Cheltenham. And, you know, we just seem to just every now and then just drop in that horrible performance that kind of knocks us back a little bit when we're starting to get a bit carried away with ourselves. So it's really important that they go into that on Saturday, kind of almost like remembering those results and going, right, this isn't happening again now. We're on a roll. Let's keep it going. Let's move into Christmas off the back of a good win against Leyton Orient, 5 in a row. And it takes a bit of the pressure off as well. Then you start to go into these games enjoying them, and then you'll play your best football. But you're right. The 3 games against the biggies, if we can go into those off the back of, you know, on maybe a 7-game unbeaten run, puts us in such a good position. And teams have got to worry about us then rather than us worrying about them. So yeah, I mean, I don't mind us playing against the big boys in this league. I think they'll come out and play. So it gives us an opportunity to get space. I think it's when we play against the lesser teams that put 7 or 8 behind the ball, I think that's when we do tend to struggle. We'll create chances against the bigger teams. It's just whether we're clinical on the day.
Yeah.
But the game against Leyton Orient is the one that worries me, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. We've thrown a spanner in the works every time we've sort of, we're getting on the brow of the hill and then we're rolling back down it, aren't we? And I think, I know there's lots of games to go, and I know people who listen to this will go, you don't know what, you know, you're overreacting. But it's happened 2 or 3 times this season. It really is now, like you say, it is time to go. We're not going to go anywhere by winning 2, losing 1. That's playoff-ish form, really. Yeah. If you really want to take that next step, I think Saturday is, as you say, it is quite important, especially with it being away from home. Okay, we've got the good result against Port Vale the last time out away from home. It is about stamping that we've got over that bit of a shaky period. This is us now. This is Derby County now. This is the way that we're going to progress forward throughout the season. Okay, we're not going to win them all. Get that. But
yeah,
a decent performance. If you lose 2-1, 1-0, you say, odd luck. That's fine. But yeah, you don't want that rubbish, you know, which that Stevenage game was. Derby were absolutely out-battled all day long. So yeah, I think it is key for that. And as you say, I try and take it one game at a time as well, but it is hard to not sort of look forward. But
yeah, sure.
It is time to almost put the chips down on the table and go, well, we've done okay over the last 6 weeks. What are we then? What are we just fighting to get into the playoffs? Or actually, can we, in that second half of the season, take that next step and really start pushing? Because as we've seen, even the teams at the top, apart from Bolton at the minute, who kind of went through a bit of a rough patch to start off with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the teams right at the top, they are starting to have a little bit of a wobble. Obviously, Oxford lost their manager. Peterborough got, Portsmouth got beat at home by Blackpool last weekend before 4-0. So nobody's perfect at this level, and we know that anyway. But there's those little chinks in there. And it, for confidence, I think Derby, if they can navigate this next 3 games unbeaten, I think that really can put them in a positive mindset. What we don't want is to have a bit of a poor run over the next 3, and then you're going into that Christmas period, it looks a hell of a bigger task, doesn't it, basically, between now and the new year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you say, I do think Saturday is massive. You know, I mean, we want to go into that and try and win it, but you don't lose it, and then you win your home games. Obviously, if we're greedy, we want to get the 3 points and carry on this winning streak in the league, which will take us into those bigger games, so-called bigger games, because like you say, against these bigger teams, they will give us chances because they'll want to go and exert themselves on us, which I think suits us down to the ground, because there aren't many games in this league where teams will go at us. They'll almost sit back and wait for us to give them the ball and try and counter. So I think it suits us down to the ground against the bigger size. Like we have, the best results have come at Blackpool, Peterborough, Barnsley, teams that will want to go, well, we're bigger than Derby, we'll go and beat them. And so then we get chances and go and, you know, dominate them. It's the lesser sides we've struggled against. So, yeah, the likes of Leighton Orient, we've really got to be going into it switched on, which I'm sure Paul Warne will have him up for it. He's got it, really.
So, Sean, before we dive into that Leighton Orient game on Saturday in a little bit more detail, a couple of players that I want to sort of have a bit of a chat about. Obviously, unfortunately, Mendes Lang's been a name that's been brought up a couple of times, so we'd like to try and pick a couple of difference. And in fact, we've both kind of mentioned them so far in the podcast. The two that I want to really sort of focus on for this week is Curtis Nelson and Kane Wilson.
Yep.
It was just going to be Curtis because I've been meaning to go in a bit more in depth with him over the last few weeks. But obviously with Mendes Lang's form and Collins and the usual suspects, he's just gone about his business, and it's about time we sort of had a 5 minute chat about him on the pod.
Yep.
And obviously Kane Wilson, since he's come back from his injury. I mean, I remember seeing him the first time he came on, and I'm sat in the South Stand with my mate, and he said he is never a footballer. He just ran like Bambi on ice. He really did. And then over the last couple of weeks, his dribbling is actually really, really impressive. I think he looks a lot more accomplished. He looks a lot more comfortable on the ball as well. And he has created and been a big part in moves, breaks, and in everything.
Yeah.
I think he's really added to the team. I mean, it's going to be a bit of a conundrum when him and Ward and Niambe and they're all sort of up to full fitness. That's going to be an interesting choice.
Great problem to have, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I can see actually them occupying the right hand side and Mendes Lang getting shifted over to the left. To sort of, if there was one weak area at Derby, it's probably the left-hand side at the moment. I don't think Barkhouse has particularly dug up any trees, and I think his time at Derby might be numbered, to be perfectly honest with you. But that's not the chat. But Curtis Nelson, start with Curtis Nelson. I think his first game, he had an absolute stinker. And then
alongside a few of them.
Yeah, but then ever since that, I mean, he's everywhere. I say it's very solid at the back. He's not necessarily a massive ball-playing defender. He's an edit and kick-it man. But we've also seen him on the edge of the 18-yard box, darting runs and things like he gets into play. He's not the most quickest, but he has actually got a little bit of turn, a pace about him for a 30-year-old, a centre-half. You know, he's definitely a threat at corners. He's very dominant in the air, and I think he's helped nurse cash in through
massively
a bit of a rough period as well, and we're now starting to see the better of him. I mean, them pair together, they've been an absolute colossus, Sean, for me. And Nelson, whilst I knew of him when he came in, and I thought, you know, that's a solid squad player. He's one of the first names on the team sheet for me. He can't be dropped at the moment. I mean, okay, that might change. He might throw an absolute couple of clangers in there. But, you know, when you look at the centre-halves that we had, Cashin, Sonny Bradley, came in to play week in, week out at Derby. I don't think there's anything about that. And then, you know, Forsyth was there as cover. Obviously, he's had to play out on the left. But for me, Nelson, I mean, he's becoming one of the signings of the summer. I just...
Definitely.
I don't think he's put a foot, as I say, from that first game where he looked a little bit out of it, I don't think he's put a foot wrong in, 20-odd games?
No, he's been immense. Like you say, first game, he alongside Bradley and a few others had absolute stinkers. And I think a few of our fans writ him off there and then. But he's slowly gone about his business, kind of got used to the systems, got used to the team. He's been absolutely immense. He's been an absolute rock at the back. Everything you've just said, he's solid in the air. He positions himself well. He covers when Cashin goes on his little runs, and he just knows how to play. And he's a good player at this level. Decent centre arse are just invaluable. And him alongside Cash, they've just been absolute rocks. They both complement each other really well. Cashin's growing as a player alongside him, and I just can't praise him enough. And he's up there for Player of the Year at the moment. I don't think there's anyone that's above him at the moment, if I'm totally honest. And yeah, he's been, and he's a captain. He's a captain to me. He leads. He's you know, may not be shouting and screaming, but you can tell the players look up to him. They respect him. He's kind of grown into almost like a Curtis Davis type player. From a few years ago, he's a leader. He's a rock at the back. And yeah, it's no coincidence that, like you say, since him and Cashin have formed that partnership, we're barely conceding a goal. So the other players must absolutely love having those two at the back.
Absolutely. Obviously, don't want to play devil's advocate. It's one of them where if he was to get injured, I think that then actually makes Derby's back line considerably weaker. Although I
Massive.
thought Sonny Bradley played quite well actually last night against, to be honest, against Fleetwood. I think he's put in since his real, obviously, slip at the start, no pun intended. He has, I think he's grown into his Derby shirt a little bit. But yeah, definitely Nels wouldn't want him out at the moment. If there was one player I looked at, there'd be him. Obviously, Mendes Lang, you'd probably say without them in the side, there's a bit of a imbalance, you know, there's quality there for sure. And then I said, bringing on to Kane Wilson, I say he had that injury, which was a bit of a setback. But again, he's taking it to his own. I mean, he's one of them. I can't remember. I mean, Mendes Lang, he can dribble with the ball, but he's a very different type of dribbler for me than what Kane Wilson is. I don't think I've seen anybody in a Derby shirt for a long time that can actually control the ball and dribble a ball like Kane Wilson can. As I said, I really thought he was a bit of a donkey when he first came in. I mean, he's direct, very direct, but just the way that he ran, I thought, yeah, I don't think we're going to see what we want at, you know, that this type of player that I think he's vastly becoming. Teams are scared of him. You know, you look at somebody like an Ebisele from a couple of years ago, somebody who's direct. Kane Wilson's direct, and teams don't like being run at. It's as simple as that. No team likes being run at. I don't know why we don't do it more, but Kane's more than happy to pick that ball up inside his own half. He did it last night 3 or 4 times. He's actually really strong as well at keeping hold of the ball. He's quite a big unit for a winger, a bit similar to Mendes Lang as well. He can keep hold of a ball, and I've been since he's come back from his injury, Sean, I've been really impressed with him. And I think it's only because they're trying to nurse him again, one with a bit of an history of injuries. I think he'd be playing most weeks, most games. I think second half of the season, if we can keep him fit, I think he's probably going to be a mainstay in that Derby side. And I don't see too many negatives with that, if I'm honest.
No, you can't drop him at the moment. I think, like a lot of our new signings, he took a while to settle in at Derby. I think for a lot of them, the club was just too big for them almost. It took them a while to kind of realise they're at a massive football club and in front of, you know, 20-odd thousand fans, and they're just not used to it. And I do think it affected quite a few of them in the early days. And I think they've had to get their heads around that and realise, you know, what the fans are expecting of them and get used to the environment. And like I say, the last few months, he's just been sensational. I mean, people, I might get Slater's here, but he's kind of almost a bit like a Jack Grealish. You know, he's got such good close control, and he entices people into him, and he's just getting past them all the time, or they have to foul him. He's a very intelligent player. When players are around him, he's not scared to be in a crowd with the ball. It's a bit like playground football, but he's got such ability and such close control. He entices two or three in him, so it leaves space for other players. So I think at the moment with Mendes Lang and Wilson, teams have got more than one player to kind of worry about, and like I say, they're having to double up, so it leaves gaps for other players to exploit. So you, like I say, the players like Wilson, they're invaluable to the team because they give us space for other players and other options. If you're clever, if you like say you're a Hourihane, you're thinking brilliant because he's enticing two players onto him. Give me the ball and I'll play it to the other side, and there's a gap. So yeah, Wilson for me he's been phenomenal. Just wish he could just get a break in front of goal. Just a crappy little goal off his arse or something. I don't care. Get a goal, and then he can kind of breathe. Right, I've got my first goal. I don't think he scored, has he? If I'm right,
No, I don't think so. Not yet,
because
no.
he's missed a couple of absolute sitters. But like you say, his dribbling, he scares teams to death. It would just be nice to see him get that first goal for Derby, and I think he could go on a run a bit like Mendes Lang's done. Gets a goal, could go on a run of scoring 4 or 5. Like last night, he almost went clean through, didn't he? And he got took out, and he just needs that little bit of luck. And I think then he'll be, you know, that'll just add another little thing to his game. But besides the goals, I think he's been sensational, which is great to see because we want to see these exciting attacking players.
Absolutely. I think, Jack, he is very similar to Jack Grealish. I know exactly what you're saying. And if he wants to go for 100 million next summer, I'm more than happy with that.
I don't think that's the purpose of saying that, but he just reminds me of the way he controls the ball.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And funnily enough, I was quite intrigued to listen to Joe Ward's interview after the game last night. He was out for press and he said, you know, him and Kane, that they're both attacking minded, but they both can defend. So if one is blowing a little bit, one can stay and one can go. And that, in fact, is quite invaluable as a partnership. And that's why I think Mendes-Lang's going to end up getting shifted out onto that left-hand side, to be honest. Because I just think that right, especially when Niambi's there as well. So, you know, some tough away games, he can sit in, you've got one attacking.
Yeah.
It just that right-hand side without Mendes-Lang on it just seems there's enough balance on that right-hand side without him. I think he will end up playing a lot more on the left hand side, to be honest, the second half of the season, unless we can obviously bring somebody in, then again, headache to have. But no, I echo everything that you've just said. I think the two players there that definitely deserve the praise for the start, say not necessarily the start that they had, but certainly over the last couple of months, I think they've really come to the fore. And I think, like you say, I think they've settled now. I would agree with you. I think certainly with Wilson obviously coming from Forest Green. And obviously having a bit of a torrid time, was it, at Bristol City, where he was injured a lot, you know, having that little bit of a period where he could just settle in, I think's done him wonders. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what the pair of them can add for the rest of the season, because they are going to be definitely two important cogs, I think, if Derby are to be successful.
Yeah, 100%.
So for our opponents in focus this week, it's been a while since we've done one of these, actually, but we decided to get a guest on, as this will be certainly the first time we've played this particular team for a while. The stats evade me. I should have done my research. The stats evade me off the top of my head. Is it? Oh, it's a while. Paul, our guest, is going to tell us how long it is in a second. But from the Orient Outlook, looking all at the game on Saturday against Derby, Leighton Orient, is Paul Levy. Paul, thanks for joining us, mate.
Pleasure, man. Thanks very much for having us on. And to your point there, it's 38 years almost to the weekend since we last played you at Derby County. It was in 1984, the 15th of December, you won 1-0.
Right. Well, there you go. Somebody's done the research. That's nice of them. I don't know why. It's a stat that I knew I was going to start with and then completely forgot to look it up. So my apologies on that one, Paul. But thanks very much for joining us on the podcast, mate. And as I say, we like to, I mean, normally we try and do them for every game, but unfortunately, just recently, we've struggled to sort of tie things down. And to be honest with you, obviously, at Derby's second season in League One since 1984, probably like one of the last times, obviously, we met each other. And obviously, we did a lot of the newcomers. Obviously, most teams were sort of newcomers or we'd not played for a while last year. So we did a fair few of them. But obviously, Leighton Orient, it's a new one for us. A fair few, probably for the first ever time, down at your ground. And so, you know, looking forward to chatting with you about it and finding out a lot more about the O's. I mean, we start, well, obviously, sort of got to mention a little bit. I know we're obviously a few months away now from this, Paul, but obviously promotion last season. Obviously, a club, you know, obviously I don't think you've been in, you know, you was in and around, you've had troubles yourselves. I think most people, you could certainly go into a little bit of that. I know it's not been the nicest of times as an Orient fan just recently. But obviously to get that promotion last year and, you know, start as we've just been talking off camera. I mean, it's easy for me sometimes to sit here and think, oh, League One, you know, there's not massive teams, a lot of massive teams in it. But no disrespects for a side like Orient or obviously Stevenage, you've come up and, you know, and teams like that, Northampton, they're not playing in front of 25,000 each week. And they're not used to some of the stadiums that are in League One, and they're not used to the facilities in some of League One. So, I mean, a little bit about the, you know, Orient over the last few years, especially the promotion last year, and sort of the step up, I suppose, what it's felt like. Obviously, 16th, 17th in the table, aren't you? You know, started doing okay. What's life been like back in League One?
Okay, lot to unpack. So perhaps if I give your listeners a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the last kind of 9 years, just very, very quickly. So 2013-14, we got to the playoff finals. We just got pipped out to second place by a team called Wolves and a team called Brentford, who you've probably come across. Now established Premier League sides. We lost the playoff final to Steve Evans's Rotherham in the 2014 season. Barry Hearn was our owner at the time, unbeknown to us at the time. He'd sold it agreed to sell it to somebody else. His name we don't mention amongst the Orient community for what will become obvious reasons. We thought, great, this guy's got deep pockets and is prepared to fund us and push on, get into the Championship and maybe push on and be an established side there. Quite frankly, it was the complete opposite end of that. And things went downhill very, 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 very quickly. To the point where we were almost not in existence. We were struggling very badly with the owners and that side of things. Fast forward then to 2017, June, it's announced by the club that the club had been purchased by lifelong fan Nigel Travis and the consortium of people, including a fantastic guy called Kent Teague. We were in the National League at this point because we'd suffered relegation from League One, relegation became assured at the end of the 2016 season, 16-17 season. So we then became a National League side. We were then bought by Nigel Travis, Kent Teague and a consortium and basically started from scratch. And we've worked our way back up. And after a couple of seasons in the National League, we bounced into League Two. And then after about three or four seasons in League Two, like you say, we got promoted the back end of last season. We've had some great managers, some great players along the way. The late, great Justin Edinburgh as well helped kickstart our revival, quite frankly, when we're in the National League. And Richie Wellens has helped continue that on and got us out of League Two and into League One. We're grateful to have him and Paul Terry and Matt Harold and the staff behind the scenes that have helped get us back ostensibly to where we were 9 years ago. 8 or 9 years ago, which we feel is where we ought to be. We're a League One club. We feel in size and stature and the gravitas that we feel that we have. We probably punch above our weight in terms of media attention that we get. We had Harry Kane as our front of shirt sponsor for three or four seasons as well, which brought a lot of attention to us. From a club standpoint, it's been a bit of a tricky start for us. We had a lot of injuries at the start of the season. We lost seven or eight key players, which is why our first few games were losses. So we didn't really get that bounce that you get or would expect a promoted league side to have that you see that Stevenage has got and are maintaining. They're doing very well with Steve Evans. They've recruited very well. We've recruited we've recruited some good, strong players, but we've just for injuries and the odd suspension and so on. It's just not worked for us. And Rich has not arguably been able to put out and won't be able to put out his strongest side because of long-term injuries that we've got in our squad.
Yeah, and I have started looking at some of the notes that I made, and one thing that strikes me, as you say, sort of 2017 sort of onwards has been sort of the resurrection of Orient. There's a list of managers there that would grace and have graced Championship clubs in the past. It's a pretty decent select group of people, a steady rise back to League One. But in all fairness, 6 years from the brink of extinction, I'd say isn't too bad at all. Obviously, Derby fans know all too well we were absolutely staring down the barrel exactly ourselves, 18 yeah. months, 2 years ago. So, we certainly had sympathy there. We were very lucky, obviously, we didn't fall further than obviously just League One. But like you said, just as I say, some of the names that I see as managers, obviously, you'd probably be able to tell me the answer to this, Paul, but certainly from an outsider looking in, the flirting of potential moves to the Olympic Stadium before West Ham, and all that. So like you said there, just to back up your point there, they are the aspirations to be higher are obviously there. And like you say, luckily somebody brought you out. Looks like it's run by a steady pair of hands now. And I think no matter, you know, what level, what club, you've got to consolidate yourself, work yourself into, you know, into that place, and then push on. And obviously, yeah, the difference from 6 months ago, 6 years ago to now, obviously is astronomical. And as you say, you know, brilliant.
Utterly night and day. You know, you would never find a club. You show me a club that's had two promotions in 6 years, championship promotions, i.e. you've won the league in 6 years. There aren't many, aside from like the Manchester Cities of the world. You show me lower league sides that have got two championship cups in their trophy cabinet, you know, over the in such a short period of time. It's unbelievable. But that's really all down to the hard work and the hard work ethic of the owners and the board of directors and everybody that's been involved, you know, and all the managers that we've had, which thankfully we've not had a huge turnover, but we have had some turnover naturally.
Yeah, so obviously there's the little bit of history. Moving on to more, obviously, today's things and League One. As we just said, as I just mentioned, 16th, is it 16th, 17th 16th, in League One? Yeah. 22 points, I think it is. Obviously, I'm sure you'll be a man that certainly watched Leighton Orient, certainly a bit more than I have this season. How have the O's taken to life in League One again? And, you know, do you think you're about par for the course going on so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all said at the beginning, you know, the way that Richie explains it is he looks at the league in three tranches, top eight, middle eight, bottom eight. We're not top eight. You know, there are big sides in this league, yourselves included, the Peterboroughs, the Oxfords, the Boltons, the Portsmouths, the Barnsleys, you know, Blackpool, Charlton. You look at these sorts of sides, you know, Wickham have been in the championship of recent times. So, you know, and Reading as well. Excuse me. So, you know, there are some big names, some big clubs, like you said, with some big infrastructure in place that are used to playing in front of big crowds. So for this season, you know, the board have kind of been, you know, our board are unbelievably open. They come on our podcast, you know, the fan media, they talk to the club website, that, you know, they tell us what's going on, and they're very open and transparent, maybe to a fault at times. And I think the chairman's said that, you know, this season will be a season of consolidation. We don't want to be in a relegation dogfight. By the same token, with the budget that we have, we don't feel that we'll be in the top eight pushing for a playoff or even automatic. Obviously, if the footballing gods decree that we should be at that end of the table and we are going to be in the playoffs, then great. You know, we're not going to pull back from that. But by the same token, you know, it is an adaptation. You know, we have got by and large a squad from last season from League Two with a sprinkling of players that we've bought in that we feel are either coachable to be better than what they are or already kind of ready to help push us on and do that. We, you know, we go through waves of progress and evolution, and we're in that phase at the moment where we've just landed back in League One. It is an adjustment. We've got some clubs that have come down from the Championship who are used to playing, you know, at a faster pace and so on. So it's not easy. It hasn't been easy, coupled with the fact that we've had multiple key personnel out injured at any given time has meant that we've had to kind of really put square pegs into round holes to help, you know, make sure that we've got a team that can do a job and you know, get something from a game. And sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't. You know, we'd like to see more numbers, higher numbers in the win column. You know, we've only won five this season. We've drawn seven and lost seven. So, you know, out of 19 games, we've lost seven. So nearly one in three. So, you know, we need to do better than that. We can do better than that. And yeah, I think there's a lot of talk at the moment around the Orient fans, around the sort of level of desires being shown and the input and the consistency and the lack of something's lacking in our side at the moment. We're not entirely sure what it is, whether they're overworked and stretched and fatigued, whether they don't understand what their jobs are, whether they're not getting what the tactics and the game plan are. Maybe they do and don't care and are doing what they want to do. We don't know for sure, but something isn't right. Something's not clicked. You know, we watched us play last season, you know, albeit granted against slightly more inferior opponents in terms of the quality. But nonetheless, you could see a clicked team. You could see a team that were working cohesively. It doesn't seem so much that way this season. You know, we haven't got an out-and-out striker. Richie doesn't, our manager doesn't have a side that's structured to have a 20, 30 goal or 15, 20 goal a season striker, it's usually shared around the squad. So I think our top scorer last season had 9 or 10 goals. That was our top scorer. But then there were several others that were in the 7s, 8s, and 9s. So, you know, we were getting goals. We, you know, that's not the problem. But, you know, for us, we're not clinical enough in either box. We're not scoring enough at one end and we're not stopping enough at the other. And it's silly mistakes and silly passes and silly back headers and, you know, not being charging things down and, you know, defending from the front resolutely enough. So, yeah, we're in a little bit of a flux at the moment, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I'm just looking through, obviously, the results just recently. I mean, you have to go back to what, mid-October before the last league win against, where are we, Carlisle? Was it Carlisle? But that, you know, it was after sort of the start of the season, when you know, you look at the start of the season, was a pretty, yeah. But then again, you know, you're coming up against, you know, a little bit of quality. But then you found your feet, you know, you've picked up some results, you know, you've had a couple of wins at home. Okay, you know, you've gone away. No team in this division's easy. Derby have found that out over the last 18 months. You know, you've picked up solid points against some of the big hitters as well. You know, so you know, it's one of them things. But obviously, as I say, you obviously watch this Orient side week in, week out. So you'll know better, a lot more than I will, or the Derby listeners of this podcast, that, you know, the way that Orient have been operated. Really, that brings me on to my next question, sort of. So I would imagine most Derby fans probably don't know too many of the Orient players. So for the benefit of the Rams, Paul, that are listening, you know, name as a few key players and players Derby, if they're available and picked on Saturday, you know, yeah. Where's the strengths in this Orient side?
Well, in goal, we've got Solbrin. He's on loan to us from Middlesbrough. Our keeper from the last three seasons who helped see us up, Lawrence Vigouroux, went and joined Burnley, Premier League side Burnley. I think he's third choice there, unfortunately. A bit of a waste, but it's a move that makes absolute sense for him and his family. We understand that and would never begrudge him that experience, but we could have done with him this season. I think not to disrespect Solbrin in any way, shape or form, but I think with the same defence that we had last season, there was that connection. That obviously takes time to build up and obviously Lawrence being here for sort of three seasons really helps cement that. So we've got Tom James at right back, Brandon Cooper's on loan, or right wing back, Brandon Cooper's on loan from Swansea. We've got Academy product Dan Happy, who's played well over 200 games and he's only 23, I think, maybe 24. So he's played 200 or 300 games for us. And then it will be Ed Turns, who's been on loan, who came on loan to us last season, came back. From Brighton. He's very, very highly regarded at Brighton. We've got Idris El Mazzouni in the middle with Jordan Brown. Idris is on loan to us from Ipswich. He came back on loan to us this season. Again, he was with us last season, so he loved it so much he wanted to come back. Jordan Brown, who will probably be familiar to some of your eagle-eyed listeners, as we got him from you. Theo Archibald came from Lincoln, initially joined us on loan, but loved it so much that he stayed. Who else do we have? George Moncur probably is a name that will probably ring a few bells with your team. He doesn't really get a starting spot anymore. Again, another player that we'd signed from the Championship that we all had high hopes and expectations for, but for some reasons, again, something's not quite right there. I don't know what that is. Confidence, injuries or whatever it's been, it's just not been right. And then up top, we've got, we did have Aaron Drynan, but he's now out injured for about 6 to 8 weeks. So we've got Ruel Sotiriou. Unfortunately, he's also now injured or went off injured the other day. So we're not sure if he's going to be available. Joe Piggott is a seasoned League One player, was at Portsmouth, I think, last season. Shaq Ford is on loan to us from Watford. Who else would potentially stand out? Ethan Galbraith was from Manchester United. We signed him. I think that's a connection from Richie Wellens, really, because he's ex-Man U as well. I think that's him keeping his eyes and ears to the ground there. Max Sanders as well is a good player. You know, we've got some good ball-playing players. You know, we're not a Route 1 type team. So, you know, we like to get it on the ground and play it through the phases. So, Yeah, I'd say that that's probably the majority of the names that you'll probably expect. Darren Pratley's a seasoned veteran as well from Charlton. We signed him a couple of years ago. So, yeah, so you know, we've got a few. We can play. It's just something's just not clicking.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, there's a couple of names there like you, that will jump out to as seasoned pros. But, interesting to hear that you like to get the ball down, and we'll go into the style and a bit more about the actual game on Saturday in a little minute. But before we move into that, just a mention for, as I said, your manager Richie Wellens. You know, are the fans happy with him as the manager of the O's, or is that increasingly starting to look a little bit because of recent form that, you know, that might be something that he could be on his way out soon?
Well, I don't think he'll be on his way out, and I think any fan that's calling for him to go needs to give their heads a bit of a wobble and have a bit of a sense and reality check. He joined us in the February of 2022, so that's the 21-22 season. He then got us promoted in his first full season. He got us playing football, some really good football, some solid football. We never, ever looked like we were going to get smashed by anybody. At the moment, I think a lot of fans are quite frustrated and venting, particularly on social media, as everyone goes to. I think there's a lot of frustration about it. I think, you know, when things are going well, you hold your hands up and say, yeah, you know, that's partly down to what I'm doing, but also what the players are taking aboard. And when things aren't going so well, you also have to take accountability. And sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. And I think I wasn't there on Sunday when we lost at Chesterfield in the FA Cup. And I think there was a number of fans that were booing. And I think sort of Richie's kind of sort of giving the raised shoulders and hands out, going like, well, what are you booing for kind of thing? You know, look, we are grateful. I think for where we are, we're back where we feel we ought to be and belong. And I don't mean to sound arrogant by saying that, but we feel that we are a solid League One side. You know, we're getting a lot of sold out games at 8,000-9,000, which is our capacity at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, it's even forcing the club to think that we might even need to move to build our own stadium and be able to cater for, you know, a larger audience, a larger spectator base. But, you know, back to Richie, I think that, you know, he's a good tactician. He really understands football to quite a deep level. And so from that point of view, I think any fan that's calling for him to leave, probably football isn't for you. It probably isn't the sport that you should be at. And if it is, then probably Leighton Orient aren't the club for you. You probably ought to go and watch a Man City or an Arsenal because he's done wonders for us. But again, he's not immune, and nor are the staff immune from criticism if we see that things aren't right.
No, absolutely. And to be fair, I don't know how much you listen, pay attention to Derby County, but 4 or 5 weeks ago, there was calls for Paul Warneshead, and then all of a sudden we started winning games. So, you know, the saying on our, well, a very well-known verse on our podcast is obviously football fans, especially when it's your own team, can be very fickle at times. I think that's up and down the land. But
standard.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, it's when the good times are rolling. You know, yeah, absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I mean, I went to the who did we play? Bristol Rovers, the last home game, and obviously that made it three in a row. We'd done the Tuesday night Port Vale. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to that one. And you know, the fans are singing his name again. And it's, you know, 4 weeks ago you were calling for his neck.
Their head, yeah.
You know, and it's one of them. But at the end of the day, like you say, it can be. We've had it where, you know, we've had decent managers who've took us on a decent run, and then sort of when the wagon falls off, you always hope they can replicate, you know, they can drag it back. And actually, there's been a couple of times, certainly at Derby over the last 10-15 years, where maybe they should have gone a little bit earlier than they ended up going, and you know, could have, and cost us getting in the playoffs or things like that. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, how it pans out. We're coming into a very busy festive period, and one thing you don't want to be, unfortunately, is obviously on a bit of a bad run and exactly. when the games are coming thick and fast. But talking about the game, say, you mentioned, I was actually going to mention about Brisbane Road, you know, one of those grounds, 9,000, it's a decent capacity at that level. And like you say, I know it's been your home for a long time. And like you say, just moving up the gears again, you know, maybe that is something that you genuinely do have to look to see if you can develop the area. Or I must admit, I've never physically been to it. I've driven past it, but I've never physically been to it. So, but yeah, it's one of those things. But you mentioned pretty much everything I was going to say. So we'll move on. And for the final 5-6 minutes, we'll just focus physically on Saturday. So I say it's the first, well, you mentioned it's the first trip for over 38 years. What can, for the travelling fans, what can they expect of Brisbane Road, first of all, and you know, in and around it for the away fans? And then ultimately, what most Derby fans want to know is, what can we expect from Orient on Saturday?
So, I mean, you're probably, you know, most of you, Waltham Forest, which is the London borough that we reside in, are not very car friendly. So it's all car permits and that kind of stuff. So you're better off coming down on the train. When you come out of Leighton Station, you're turning right and you're walking up the high road. Plenty of eating options there, but also plenty of eating options in the ground for you as well. You can't miss it. When you walk up the high street, you'll come to Coronation Gardens. You can cut through Coronation Gardens or walk up Buckingham Road, whichever one you want to do. And your turnstiles are literally turn right into Brisbane Road. It's right there. It's like a sort of a Y bit. And you're literally the first set of turnstiles there. We've got three sort of new stands. You're in the older stand, which is the east stand. We can't do anything with that at the moment for various reasons. But the roofs are quite low. It's sort of on the two new stands behind the goal, which is one of them is where I sit, which will be to your left. But the stand that you're in, all the roofs are low. So when you make noise, the noise travels out onto the pitch. So it really does make for a tremendous atmosphere. The south stand, which is where I sit, we're the noisier of the three stands. The opposite stand to you is the main west stand, the Justin Edinburgh stand, which houses the media, the corporate hospitality, and season ticket holders and sort of disabled or disabled seating area as well. So from that point of view, you know, it's a good match day experience, which is what I think is rather important. We've been to a lot of grounds where they're new, they're modern, they're soulless. The noise, you can't create the same noise and create the same type of atmosphere. So we have our singing section in the south stand. It won't surprise you to know that it's quite close to where you guys are. So no doubt there'll be lots of waving to each other and so on and so forth, and singing at and to each other and all the other niceties that go on and so on. So, yeah, in terms of a game, I hope we turn up, to be perfectly honest with you, Jason. I think that, you know, we're lacking at the moment. I keep saying this, and I'm sorry to sound like a bit of a broken record, and not that I don't have anything else to say, but it's really hard to put your finger on it. Like you said, we haven't won in the league since mid-October. We've obviously won games. We beat Carlisle in the FA Cup to get through to the second round, but you know, it's just not where what we want to see. It's not what we're used to seeing, if you like. Maybe called a spoiled people, but you know, we have high hopes and expectations. We don't expect to see what we're seeing. You know, we don't expect to win every game either. We know that there are some really tough games in this league, and if you don't beat those that are down there suffering, and you know, the likes of, you know, the Fleetwoods and the Cheltenhams and the Reddings and so on, if you're not going to beat, you know, those at the bottom end of the table, you're going to get sucked into a nasty relegation dogfight. And we don't want that. We want to cement ourselves in the league. So hopefully Richie understands how you guys play. We'll set the team up our way to play, but we'll at the same time nullify the threats that no doubt your attacking players will. You know, you've got some big names in your squad, some probably on some big money as well. Which we don't have and we can't do. So, you know, we're sort of a lower mid-8 budget. Probably a lower budget, lower end of the table budget by comparison. We cut our cloth accordingly. We don't live beyond our means too much. And hopefully you'll enjoy the experience, but not too much.
No, absolutely. It sounds like for anybody who's travelling down there, they're going to have a nice Saturday mid-December, sort of near enough mid-December already. Mid-December afternoon. A couple more before I leave you, Paul. You've just mentioned it there. You hope that Leighton Orient turn up. If Orient do turn up, you know, what can we expect when Orient are on their mettle on the day? Sort of, we've been chatting a little bit beforehand off. It sounds like you set up quite similar to what we do, like to get the ball down. I think it's not going to be a clash of styles. It's going to be a very similar style, which actually could potentially open it up to be, you know, quite a fascinating game. But if the O's do turn up on Saturday, you know, what's the strengths? What have Derby got to be careful of? And ultimately, you know, where can Derby hurt Leighton Orient?
Yeah, so I think ultimately, I think Theo Archibald is going to be our main outlet on the left wing. He's always good for his crosses. So from that point of view, he likes to get past players. Dan Agge's now coming back. I don't think he'll start, but he'll come on. And he was last season's League Two, you know, stats-wise for the position that he played from an attacking standpoint with the assists and the goals scored. He was one of the top, if not the top, from that season. So he looks dangerous and he's now getting back to full fitness. So there'll be some danger there. Not to discount Idris El Mazouni either. Idris is a ball-winning midfielder, good tackler, good, reads the game quite well. Jordan Brown as well has been a standout player for us, I think, at times. But yet to see the best of our strikers. We don't have anybody that's really prolific enough that he's, you know, grabs a game, you know, by the horns and or by the scruff of the neck and can just sort of get a bang a shot away and it crawl between someone's legs and under the keeper's body. We Ruel arguably could do that, but hasn't been. And he's now out injured. Whether he's fit to play rather on Saturday is rather a different story. It's difficult to know who's going to be fit and well and ready to play. There's been some illnesses in the first team squad as well. So it will be difficult. If Max Sanders plays on one wing, I think he'd be quite tricky to watch. Richie's typically been setting us up with three at the back, with wing backs in Tom James and Theo Archibald, with Idris and Jordan Brown being in the midfield. Mm. Excuse me. And then we've had a three strike force, be it a one and then a two, a 10, and then behind two strikers or variations of that. It's difficult to really say who to look out for because I don't actually know who's fit and able to play. And the club have been very discreet about talking about who's out injured and who's coming back and, you know, what the updates are on people. They're very coy about that, and I understand why.
Yeah, no, I fully understand. Derby's had a bit of an injury crisis as well this season so far. But yeah, I must admit, Paul Warren, he does tend to match up against, if we can play the style, we've got two or three styles. If you are playing a 3-5-2, we can play a 3-5-2. He wants to play a 3-5-2. He brought the wing-backs in the summer to play 3-5-2, and then three out of the four of them were injured. So we've kind of had to juggle it a little bit. We tried a 3-5-2 without the right personnel, and I think that we got found out a bit too much at the beginning of the season, so we reverted to a 4-1-3-2 sort of formation-ish, which has actually got us a bit of joy. But we can switch between the three and the four at the back quite comfortably. Now we've got a few players back. But I must admit, we sound very similar. The one thing I suppose really we have struggled with this season is putting the ball in the back of the net for a team being in that top six with the game in hand. You know, if we were to win, that would be comfortably in the top six. We are well down on the scoring charts. We've not scored as many. Nathaniel Mendes-Lang's probably our best player of the season so far. I think he's got 7 goal contributions in his last 7 games. So to be honest with you, you know, he's in a little bit of form at the right time, thankfully. He'd had a bit of a quiet start to the season. So all in all, it sounds like it's going to be a bit of a rip-roarer if both teams can turn up. And I have to say if that, because Derby could also maybe not turn up as well, Paul. So they're still a little bit hit and miss. But we will see. But that's all
we're
for...
We're praying to the footballing gods that happens, because we could do with a break.
Well, that's it. Time's run out on this chat. Paul from the Orient Outlook, thanks very much for joining us, mate. We'll catch up with you at the return fixture.
All the best. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Paul. Speaking, final 5 minutes of the podcast. So we go to Brisbane Road, as I said at the top of the show. First time in 38 years, I believe it is, since 1984, wow. I think. So obviously the last time we were in League One, they were an established League One side. I had a chat Monday night segment to come into the podcast with a Orient fan, and you know what they've gone through over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, very similar to what Derby's gone to. Nearly went bankrupt, went down to the National League, and they're just slowly bringing themselves back up. Took League Two at a canter last season, near enough, and started this season off okay. But then he went on to say that, you know, there's a bit of a stink in the camp at the moment, and things just aren't quite going for them. So it might be a perfect time for Derby to play them. But as we've mentioned earlier, it's you know, Brisbane Road holds, I don't know if they get these sort of capacities, but it holds about 9,000-10,000, I think. It can get some fans in there. It's going to be one of those types of grounds, one of those types of atmospheres that they're the battles at this level. If you can overcome those, you stand half a chance of, you know, of doing pretty well in the game. I must admit, don't watch Leyton Orient week in, week out. Obviously, I don't think I've seen them play this season so far. So it's a bit odd to really say, but it's kind of what we've already covered, I think, Sean, over the most of the podcast. They're going to be horrible. They're at home. It's that type. But apparently they do like to get, if given the time, they like to get the ball down and play, which again, probably plays into Derby's hands a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, that would suit us massively. If they want to come out and play football and match us, you know, ability-wise, then go for it, because we'll tear them to pieces without being disrespectful to them. But they come and make it a real battle. That gives them a better chance, in my opinion, because they've only got to look at some of our results against the lesser sides who have rolled their sleeves up and really gone at us physically. We've struggled. So if they want to play football, brilliant. Because, like you say, I think we'd go and win that quite comfortably. But there's just always that thing in the back of my mind, being a Derby fan. You just think, Christ, are we going to just throw in one of those stinkers that we do every couple of months? We just throw in that stinker just to kind of stop us in our tracks a little bit. I'm just hoping Saturday isn't the case. I'm quite confident, to be fair. The run we're on, all the attacking players seem to be on form at the moment. We're solid at the back. So there's no reason why we can't go there and win this game. You know, if we get that early goal and can settle, there's no reason why we can't go and win it quite comfortably. But is that the Derby way? I don't know.
No, exactly. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. As we mentioned it a little minute ago, we don't want this to be another Stevenage or a Shrewsbury. We'd like it to be a Peterborough or a Port Vale. That sort of result and performance away from home just keeps Derby moving in the direction that we all want us to move in. And then, as I say, we're then really into the busy Christmas period, and we'll see where that takes us up till January. That's all for the podcast this week. Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. I very appreciate it. Thanks for spending the
last time. I've loved it. Thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been brilliant.
Not a problem at all. And hopefully we'll have you back on towards the second half of the season, and we can see how right or wrong we were. But appreciate your time. Thank you very much, mate.
No, that's lovely. Thanks, mate. You take care.
And that's all for this week's episode of the Rams Review podcast. And until next time, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.